Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
To make you think I am worth your time. give up is your bottom line. No, you chose me, you chased me, you made a way to be with me when we were apart. Every sin, every lie, you forgive every time. Your faithfulness never stops. Your
Okay, I'm going to take this all the way back to the beginning. I mean, to the beginning of the beginning. I'm going to explain all of this. I'm going back to the Garden of Eden. Here's what happened. Let's see the verse. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Okay, so God told them, don't eat the fruit from this tree. Now here's why I'm reading you this verse. Because God only had one rule. He had two children. He turned his back for 5 seconds, and 100% of his children were completely screwing up all the way. Okay? If that's God and his children mess up, now how much better are you and I going to do? Is anybody feeling me on that yet? Okay, so we got to manage some expectations here. We have this mentality that bad kids make a bad parent, but these two messing up didn't mean that God was to blame. That's not how that goes. People make their own choices. You know, my sister, she just gave birth to two twin little babies, a boy and a girl, and they're sweet and precious and adorable. But on a regular basis, they do awful things. I mean, they will just relieve themselves at any moment, under any circumstance. They don't care. They have no consideration for other human beings. You understand what I'm saying? And my sister, anytime these two children do anything cute and adorable, she'll take their picture and then send me a picture. Oh, look, it's an adorable thing this child is doing. I said, sis, you have to stop taking all those adorable pictures. And she said, why is that? I said, those kids are going to look back at those pictures and they're going to have a view of themselves that they were wonderful and sweet children. But they were not. They pooped everywhere all day, every day. It's awful. And they're rude, they yell, they scream, and keep you up all night. You have to take pictures of that. Okay, because later they're going to come to you and say, you were a bad parent. And you say, well, you know what, you weren't that great a child. Let's go to the tape. And then you can roll tape on how they were. See, we have to manage these expectations of ourselves. We can't say, oh, you know, it's all my fault. that all these things go wrong. People make their own choices. All children betray the trust of their parents. And that's for a simple reason, because all children are very small criminals. You understand what I'm saying? They will lie. The first thing they learn, lie. Did you eat that candy that's missing from the candy dish? No. Innocent face. No. How could you even say that? That's the first thing they do from Jump Street. No one, you have to teach that child how to go to the bathroom, how to cross the street, how to do everything. Lying is just in them. They knew that. Nobody had to teach them that. Plotting, scheming, you know, all of that. They had that down from the beginning. You did, I did, everybody did. This is how children are, okay? Doesn't mean that we don't love them and all that, but we have to recognize that even as our children grow older, they still have these tendencies in them. They still have an ability to be kind of wild about things. And unfortunately, that's part of parenting, is dealing with that. I think, too, we have a way of worrying over the future for our kids. If they make a wrong choice or a wrong decision, or they even just appear to be going in a wrong direction, we start kind of mapping out what sort of future we think they'll have, and then we worry over that and we fret over it. But we forget that if God's involved in their life, if you're praying for that child, one way or another, God's going to come into that child's life and give them a chance to get back on that road. Amen? And God did that for you. He did it for me. Believe me. There were many, many, many times where I was on the wrong road and someone was there and saying, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, well, no, but I'm going to do it anyway. And but when I came to, I said, you know, that one person told me not to do it, and now I remember, and now next time I'll know. You see, God puts these people in our lives, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, I've had to learn some things the hard way. I'll explain to you what I mean by that in case you're unfamiliar. When I say I had to learn things the hard way, I mean some things I had to learn by massively, massively screwing them up and dealing a whole bunch of awful things into my life. And then I said, aha, I shall not do that again. Okay? That's how a lot of people learn a lot of stuff. We wish that none of our kids would learn anything that way. But that's part of life. And unfortunately, that's part of growing up, and that's part of our development as a human being. There's nobody in this room that could say, hey, I learned everything the easy way. Everybody told me what to do, and I just did it because I was awesome. You know, that's, nobody could say that in here. I'll give you a chance to sound off if that's you. If not, we're going to move on from that. But here's where I think all this starts to be a problem. My sister, like I said, she's got these two little babies. And I go over there to visit, you know, because that's what you do. And I'm sitting there, and she's having like a family get together, and you know, all the ladies are all, you know, want to touch the babies and pet on them and whatever. And every single lady came up and did the same thing. Now, have you started doing this with them? Have they started doing, do they sleep through the night? Do they do this? And when are they going to start doing this? What college are they going to go to? What do you think they're going to major in? This expectation and this comparison thing. You know what I mean? There's this comparison thing of who's the better parent and who's doing better than the other one. I think that gets in our mind. And I think that generates the toughest part to overcome. It's enough to deal with. We have these kids that are struggling to figure it out. It's tough to watch kids make the same mistakes that we made, no question about it. We've recovered from those mistakes in large part, and for some of you, that's ahead of you, but you will recover from those things. But you hate to see your kids go through that. All that's enough. But that I want you to get this phrase in your mind. Wherever there's where you compare, there's going to be despair, okay? Wherever you're comparing yourself, whether you're comparing yourself to other people in church on how good a Christian you are, whether you're comparing yourself to another parent about how good a parent they are, it's just going to lead to misery. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors at their house. You don't know, okay? It may look good from the outside, but, you know, sometimes that ain't how it goes down, okay? Everybody, I mean everybody that has kids has a moment where they just can't explain why this child is making these choices and feels bad about it. But that's what we have in common. It's not what makes us good parents or bad parents. I think sometimes, too, I see people feel that they struggle with the idea of being they want to be a good parent, but they're not okay being an okay parent, if you see what I mean. They say, I'm a bad parent, I want to be a good parent, but I want to jump from here to there. Because they feel bad about not being good enough right now. That's on you. That's your feeling on you that you have about you. That don't belong. We can just throw that away. Let's just do what we can today. Pete was over here. He was opening our worship service, and Tasha's not with us tonight, but you've seen Tasha, right? Way out of Pete's league. I mean, way out. And I know you've all thought it. That's why you're laughing now. Now, Pete brought, Pete was volunteering with us, and he brought, when he went out with Tasha for the first time, he brought her to the bridge, see, because he wanted to make sure that she liked the bridge, or, you know, he couldn't be serious about her. So he brought her to the service, and he came up to me and Jed and said, I got Tasha, Tasha's with me. And we said, who, where? I don't see her. We're looking around. I couldn't, where is she at? And Pete says, right there. And we look, you mean that extremely beautiful woman on the front row? And he says, yeah. I said, oh, Pete, we need to talk. I don't think you got the horses for this battle. I mean, we need to. So here's what Jed and I did. This is a true fact. We just cornered him. We looked him in the eye. And I hope you can relate to this. And I said, Pete, you got to bail water. Okay? Don't start. You're not even at the point where you can have a plan on how do you get this woman. You have to just bail water. You have to do whatever. If you think of, if someone said, if it comes to your mind, flowers, just get flowers. Don't think about it. Just go. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you are so far out of your league, you just have to do everything you can think of to do to move this thing forward. That's what we told Pete. You got to bail water, son. Just bail water. Just keep going. Well, bless his heart, he managed one way or another to pull that off. That's what and of course, it was mostly me and Jed being inspirational. But there's a lot more I'm not going to tell you about all that. But here's what I'm saying. That for him, it was about recognizing I'm not ready, I'm not worthy yet for this woman, but I am going to work hard on it right now. And he found a way to catch up to that. And she was glad for that. I'm going to very, very, very quickly run through a few quick things. And these other pastors are going to expand on this and unpack it. But I want to quickly talk about some positive goals. Because you hear a lot about what's a good parent. And if you think a good parent is having a perfect kid, then we're all messed up. That's never going to work. Nobody has perfect children, okay? So we have to adjust that expectation and say, how do we look at what positive things we want to accomplish? And I want to give you my short list. These other pastors will unpack that. But these are all things I think you can do, and you can start doing them now. Here's the number one thing that makes a good parent is leading by example. And that's what you're doing right now. You're in church right now. You're turning your life around right now. You're setting an example. This is how you go from not being where you want to be to being where you want to be. I'm doing it. You can see me doing it. You can do what I do. And if you do what I do, the way I do it, you're going to get where you want to go. That's leading by example. You're already doing that. That's one of the main things that makes a good parent. You're already doing that. Second thing that makes a good parent is being unselfish. Simple. That's a very, very simple thing. It's easy to recognize I'm being selfish. I need to be unselfish about things. When you reach the point of being selfish, parenting itself goes out the window. So it's a simple thing, a simple measure. A good parent is a good cheerleader, a good encourager. Show up for the soccer game. Tell him he did good. He got an A on his math paper. Be a cheerleader. You can't overdo that. And that's the easiest thing in the world to do, is to pull that child aside and say, you are doing great. I am proud of you. You're going to turn out better than me. You're going to stand on my shoulders and do better things than me. And I'm going to celebrate that. And you're going to have a big house. And you're going to have a room off the back where I'm going to stay rent free. And we're all going to, it's going to be great. See what I'm saying? I'm casting a vision for y'all right now. Be a good cheerleader. Be positive. You're going to get that free room. A good parent is someone who is present, just being there. Like I said, soccer game, whatever it is, birthday party, holidays, those kind of things, be present. Last thing, a good parent instills confidence. You can do this. You can do this. All too often I see kids struggle because they wonder, am I able to do this? I can't do this. You see, you know, kids in the playing on the jungle gym or whatever, I can't climb to that, I can't do it. But if we have that sense of God is able to make you strong enough to handle whatever challenge you face, and I have your back in that, we're going to handle this together, we can do this together, instilling that confidence, it's an easy, easy, easy thing to do. Every person in this room can do that, and that's a big key to being a good parent. Amen? We love you. God bless you.